Let us turn to hymn number 32. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Hymn number 32. To hymn number 7, beautiful, beautiful, when I survey the wondrous cross. Hymn number 7. Let us stand as we sing.
I went so
have asked about this song, Nearer Still Nearer. This song is an old song. It's in many hymn books, but I know it's in the Baptist hymnal. And if you don't use that in your church, perhaps you can lay your hands on one at the Baptist bookstore. But this hymn, the reason we're using this hymn as we are, we feel that these two verses of it has something that we can all sort of keep in the back of our minds and in our hearts in thinking of the basic need, our need of prayer. And the second verse does something that we feel will help you to get that feeling ready to pray. After all, we say, Lord, use us. But you know, the Lord has to make us usable first. So we feel that the second verse of this hymn will do just that thing. I'll sing it again, but I want you to know it and get the words of it, these two verses at least, and then take it home, and if you don't have it, find it and use it this year.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Hold me, oh, fold
It was a miniature United Nations. The address delivered by a pastor from Denmark was being simultaneously translated into several languages and transmitted through earphones to listeners in the church pews. We were attending the first European Baptist Music Conference held in the Baptist Theological Seminary in Ruchlikon, Switzerland, where my husband was guest lecturer. For a week, we found ourselves among some 80 Christian musicians from Germany, England, Italy, Denmark, Poland, Spain, Sweden, Norway, and Switzerland. Limited in lingual ability to only one language, I found myself unable to communicate with our Baptist friends from other countries, except when an interpreter happened to be near. As a result, I was ill at ease and felt inclined, like the proverbial ostrich, to hide my head in a hole and make no effort at all to try to fellowship or communicate with fellow Baptists from other nations. They seemed foreign indeed, and language loomed as an insurmountable barrier separating us from each other. Of course, in the general sessions in the lovely tabernacle-shaped seminary chapel, we could hear the speaker's message translated into our own language. But communicating on a personal basis seemed impossible to me. But not for long. My husband and I determined to make an effort each meal in the dining hall to sit with someone we didn't know. Dining became an adventure not only in foreign cuisine, for foods typical of various countries were served each day, but it also became an adventure in international friendship. With a genuine smile for an overture, we attempted to communicate. They were as eager to respond as we were to start. Haltingly many times, but smoothly when someone else at the table spoke English. And by the way, many Europeans do speak several languages. We came to know individual Christians personally and to share in their joys and sorrows. For example, we learned that the frail German concert pianist had lost his help as a Russian prisoner of war in Siberia. His wife and little son had barely escaped with their lives from East Germany, and in the process lost all their material possessions. And the lovely little girl from Spain, so gay and winsome, we discovered was suffering with serious heart trouble. Her parents had brought her to Zurich to see an outstanding heart surgeon there during the music conference. This had been made possible because one of our missionaries in Spain had invited the family to come along with him to the Baptist Music Conference. One evening meal was enlivened when a trio of German women stood up and spontaneously sang a German love song to the young Swedish couple who were celebrating their wedding anniversary that day. I was deeply touched one evening by a solo sung by a lovely older woman. I glimpsed a sincerity and depth of spirit, though I understood not a word she sang. Later, through an interpreter, I asked her the words to the song because I really wanted to know. "Gladly I will tell you," she said, "because it is my testimony, the words of the song. The Lord is my light, my sun, and my star. The Lord is my joy and my song." You know, suddenly I realized that vast differences in language and culture had miraculously been resolved into constructive efforts to honor God through church music. It was almost as though unlike fractions had been added together to make a larger whole. Think for a moment. The only way you can add unlike fractions is to find a common denominator. God's love through Christ was that common denominator. By the simple process of faith, lives totally different from each other according to human standards had miraculously been changed into spiritually equivalent fractions. Thus, they could be added together as a whole. Therefore, the 80 Christian musicians attending the first European Baptist Music Conference were able to sing joyously and harmoniously together, each in his own language, because they were singing the same song. While sitting together one evening meal with an outstanding German church musician, we learned that he was familiar with New Orleans, Louisiana, where we lived, a small world. We eagerly asked the German musician if he had visited certain tourist attractions there. "Oh, no," he replied. "You see, I was your prisoner of war at the time." A former enemy was now a brother in Christ. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
As we stand together this morning for our morning prayer, we will be led by Mrs. Edwin Lowe, missionary to Nigeria.
As we pray this morning, let us remember these of our home and foreign missionaries who are having birthdays today. Mrs. W.D. Moore, director of the G.B. Taylor Orphanage in Rome, Italy. Miss Stella Austin, principal of the Baptist Girls High School in Oshogbo, Nigeria. Mrs. C.R. Crowder, mother and evangelist in Ibadan, Nigeria. Mrs. W.H. Matthews, evangelism in the Philippines. Mrs. A.J. Glaze, Jr., mother and teacher in the International Baptist Seminary in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Mrs. David Richardson, who works with her husband among the deaf in Alabama. Virginia Ogletree, director of the Hill Street Baptist Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Quinn Morgan, pastor of the First Spanish Southern Baptist Church of Bakersfield, California, for this convention and for the sessions of the General Convention to follow. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, we open our hearts to thee, asking that thou wilt come into our hearts and commune with us, asking that thou wilt direct and lead us this day in this convention, in its business session to follow, in every discussion, every vote, every decision that is made. Wilt thou speak to our hearts and bless us through the speakers who are to follow? Wilt thou fill our hearts and inspire us? And even as thou hast blessed us and done so much for us, we pray for opportunities in the future for thou to do more through us. We thank thee, Father, for all of thy many blessings to us individually, as families, as a mission, as a convention. We pray that thou wilt bless the influence and the witness of each individual here today. Bless us as we think and talk and act, that we might glorify thee in all of our being. We pray for our friends, the home and foreign missionaries who pass another milestone today. Lord, wilt thou bless their witness. Bless them this day in a very special way, in their work, in their problems, in their influence and witness for thee. We pray that thou wilt bless their families, bless their health. We pray that thou wilt bless their co-workers. Work through them, Father, to bring in thy kingdom. For we ask all of these things in the name of the one who does live within our hearts and helps us through every day to make it victorious. Amen.
There is an emergency telephone call for Reverend Ralph A. F. Faires, F-A-I-R-E-S. Call Charlotte, North Carolina, operator 21. Now the time has come for the adoption of the report of our work, and I recognize Miss Alma Hunt, our executive secretary.
Madam President, on authorization of the executive board, I move that the executive board report in the hands of the delegates be adopted without reading.
All right, you have heard the report. Is there the motion? Is there a discussion? Is there a second? Is there a discussion? If not, all favoring the motion will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is carried, and the report is adopted without reading. Now then, if you will take that report and turn to page 47, we shall take up the next order of business. Page 47. At the regular meeting of the Executive Board on September 29, 1961, in Birmingham, Alabama, the Board voted to propose the following amendments to the bylaws of Woman's Missionary Union Auxiliary to Southern Baptist Convention. In effect, to eliminate the limitation of state representation at Woman's Missionary Union annual meetings. Substitute for Article 4, Section 2, the following. Section 2, a woman's missionary union of a state affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention shall have 3,000 members to qualify for representation on boards and committees. Present wording, a woman's missionary union of a state affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention shall have 500 members to qualify for representation at the annual meeting, and shall have 3,000 members to qualify for representation on boards and committees. Substitute for Article 7, Section 3, the following. Section 3, the annual meeting shall be open to the members of Woman's Missionary Union. Present wording, the annual meeting shall be open to delegates and visitors. The privilege of making motions, debating, and voting shall be limited to delegates, members of the executive board, professional leadership, and members of committees that have been instructed to report. Amend Article 7 by striking out Section 4. Present wording. The Woman's Missionary Union of a state shall be entitled to representation at the annual meeting in proportion to the number of members as follows. A union of 500 members but less than 3,000 members, 2 delegates for each 500. Of 3,000 members but less than 100,000 members, 1 delegate for each additional 1,000. For more than 100,000 members, 1 delegate for each additional 25,000. Amend Article 7, Section 5 by striking out the word voting, making the section read, Section 5, 300 members present at any meeting of Woman's Missionary Union constitute a quorum. Present wording, 300 voting members present at any meeting of Woman's Missionary Union constitute a quorum. The question is now on the adoption of these amendments, remembering that the purpose of these amendments is in effect to eliminate the limitation of state representation at Woman's Missionary Union annual meetings. Are you ready for the question? Is there a discussion? If not, only those who are registered as delegates will vote at this time. Those in favor of these amendments will stand and remain standing until you have been counted. You stand.
All right, you may be seated. The registered delegates who are opposed to these amendments will stand and remain standing to be counted. Three hundred and 92 to 4 is the vote, and so the amendments are carried. And never again will you have to stand to be counted until you vote to change these particular amendments.
Madam President, I missed two. There are six opposed.
Six opposed. I've been corrected. And so from now on in these annual meetings until you change your minds, any member of Woman's Missionary Union attending these sessions is eligible to make motions to discuss and to vote. One other amendment proposed by the Executive Board at the regular meeting on September 29, 1961 in Birmingham, Alabama. The amendment is as follows. Substitute for Section 6, Article 8, the following. Two regular meetings of the Executive Board shall be held annually, the time and place to be fixed by the board. Article 8, Section 6 now reads, three regular meetings of the Executive Board shall be held annually, the time and place to be fixed by the board. The substitute would provide for two meetings instead of three. The question is now on the adoption of the substitute. Are you ready for the question? Is there a discussion? If not, all favoring this proposed amendment will please stand. Now, it will help us, I think, if you will lift your hand if you did not stand on the other vote. And we will add you to the figures. Just lift your hands high if you did not stand in favor of the other amendment. All right. Would you count just the hands? Hold them high, please. Way up high, like this. Those of you who are not holding up your hands, just be seated, and we'll add these to those who voted. Those with your hands up, remain standing. Some have come in since the last vote. 10 additional. 402 voting in favor. Those opposed to this amendment, will you stand? And I see no one. And so this amendment is carried. Now, Ms. Hunt, I believe you have an announcement about a meeting of the Executive Board.
The President is calling a brief meeting of the Executive Board at the adjournment of this session, which will be held in room 202 off the second floor corridor to your left and to my right. If the Executive Board members will move quickly to room 202. Following this brief Executive Board meeting, the recording secretary, Mrs. Robert Fling, according to our bylaws, will call the nominating committee for 1963 for its organization meeting. May I remind you to see the Women's Missionary Union exhibit, as well as other exhibits, in the exhibit hall during the time that you are here. It will be up all during the convention. I should like to remind the parents of children that the nursery is available off the main corridor to your right, and you may find those in attendance there to take care of the children during this program. Madam President, may I at this time present the greetings that have come. I shall not read them in full. They will be incorporated in the minutes. But we have greetings from Japan, and some excerpts from these I think will be meaningful to you. When the women of the Japan Baptist Convention met for their 15th post-war annual meeting, May 15 to 18, at Amagi Sanso, your recent greeting was read. The 191 women present, representing churches and mission points on all four islands, voted unanimously to express to you heartfelt appreciation for your abiding interest in the kingdom work in Japan. We congratulate you on your nearly 75 years of dedicated mission service, both in your homeland and in countries around the world. Particularly do we give thanks for the significant way you have influenced the women's work here during our 42 years of history. We shall continue to look to you for leadership in the future, that together we might make his way known upon the earth and his salvation among all nations. And from Mrs. Helen Liu and Mrs. Marie Zhou, the President and Executive Secretary of the Taiwan Woman's Missionary Union, a greeting addressed to all of you. As you come to this annual session of your convention, we want to express again our deep appreciation to God for all that you, dear women, have done for us and for the rest of the women of the world in making known his great salvation. We pledge anew our allegiance to him in joining our efforts with yours in this great task for his glory. And then a greeting from the President, Mrs. Umbelina Landera, and the Secretary of the Cuban Woman's Missionary Union. Dear sisters in Christ, it is with deep gratitude that we want to express our appreciation to Woman's Missionary Union, Auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, for the help, encouragement, and prayer support we have received from you throughout the past year. The message to our annual meeting is heart-lifting, and it surely will serve its purpose in challenging our women to better service in God's kingdom. Neither is the time easy, nor light the task. The struggle is great, and numerous the enemies of the cause we serve. Nevertheless, the work is being done, and the lost are listening to the voice of the Master calling his own. We women are doing our part in teaching and preaching the gospel of salvation to make true the watchword of the year, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. We need your prayers. Every morning when you meet, to think of others and to take their troubles before the altar of Christian friendship and goodwill, think of us maybe in desperate need for strength to witness, to endure the trial, to wait and know that God has not forsaken us, with our love and best wishes. And then a greeting from the President and the Executive Secretary of the Women's Missionary Union of Colombia in South America. This letter carries to you a warm message of fraternal love through our common faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to express to you our appreciation of the letter read to us in our annual meeting, a letter which gave us encouragement and impulse in the development of the missionary organizations in Colombia. We were happy to have a visit from your president, Mrs. R.L. Mathis. We want to thank those who made possible her coming, which was a great blessing to the women of Colombia, and trust that the blessing may be mutual as more of our work becomes known through her. Many of you perhaps did not read in your state paper that our president was sent to visit the Latin American mission fields in January and February, of this year, sent by the Foreign Mission Board on an official journey for the board, visiting the various mission stations there. And Colombia is one from which we have had this message of appreciation for what she did while there. Another comes from Argentina, which was really her longest assignment in South America. And this letter comes from Miss Teresa Pluis, the president of the Women's Missionary Union of Argentina and the secretary. Dear fellow workers in Christ, we wish to express to you our deep appreciation for the privilege of having had Mrs. Mathis here with us in Argentina for our Women's Missionary Union camp. She was an inspiration and a great blessing for our ladies who heard her messages, and we are sure that new ideas and new plans will be coming forth as a result of her presence here with us. Thank you for the part you had in her visit. I reminded the board that we didn't have any part except we gave her time off to go for the Foreign Mission Board Center. Thank you for lending her to us for a while. We shall be praying for you as you meet at convention time. May those sessions be led by the Spirit of the Lord, and may great things come out of them. And from that country also comes this in a separate greeting. We shall be observing with you a special period of prayer.
We shall begin this period August 19, and it will continue until September 15. During this time, we shall be promoting special prayer for you as we unite our hearts with yours in prayer. Also, we shall be praying for the Billy Graham campaign here in October, for all phases of our woman's work, and for other special items. We rejoice with you for the 74 fruitful years of work there, and shall join with you in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for them and for you. Now, I see some things on my program that you don't see, because I've written in a good many things to guide me during these sessions. The ushers have some of the things written in their program that I have. For instance, a little starred note, when to open the doors and let the people come in to be seated. But it never occurred to me, nor to the ushers, that we needed to make a starred note when to let you out. I have always thought that members of Women's Missionary Union and the guests of Women's Missionary Union would remain in the auditorium until the benediction. I was a bit disappointed yesterday afternoon that so many did rise to leave just before the solo by Irene Jordan. I want to remind you that the solo is our benediction. Now, I'll make a mark for you. If you have to leave any time before the lights dim for that solo, would you please mark your program right now? And the ushers will mark their programs and open the doors and let you out. Not only did you rise to leave, but many of you stood in the doorways, and the fire marshals had a little bit to say about that. If you need to leave this morning, mark your program and leave immediately before Dr. Baker James Cawthon stands to tell us about some of our foreign mission work. If you want to stay just a little longer, stay through the message by Mrs. Charles Martin, Jr., and leave immediately after that. Now, if you're going to leave at all, there's no other time for you to leave. And so you mark your program carefully, and we'll sit here just a moment as you leave. I know that you didn't do it intentionally. Perhaps you didn't realize that the lights would go out, and you'd be caught in the aisle, unable to find your way, or that you would block the doors. And so we'll appreciate it if you'll help us. Now we shall follow our program this morning as Mr. Jack Combs, who is with the Home Mission Board in the state of California, working with our language missions groups, and he will present these groups. And Dr. Baker James Cawthon, the Executive Secretary of the Foreign Mission Board, who will tell us something of our foreign mission work in the areas represented by the speakers here on the platform. And then after that, our benediction.
You don't know how confused you can be unless you work in language missions here in California. And I made a boo-boo last night. You see, it came about like this. The first job I ever had in the church was in Women's Missionary Union, but it was on the boys' side of the fence. I was leading a Royal Ambassador chapter, so I put these precious girls in chapters. You ladies will forgive me for that. Thank you for your kindness. I think of this language task. Our editor, former editor used to call our work the Unknown Tongues Department, so you see, we are really confused over here. One other thing, I didn't get the message across yesterday. A number of you were interested in where to get a ticket for those tours, and if you'll go down in the display, in the booth area, the exhibit area, and go to the California booth, there are a few tickets there, but they're all downstairs in that place. Let me tell you another way in which we're confused. We've been hoping and reaching for the time when we could have at least one missionary couple for every 100,000 of our foreign language people, or our people of foreign extraction here in California. You'll help us, won't you? I think you'd want to know also that on the average, we run, counting those churches that come to self-support and so on, we have about 15 couples consistently for whom we've not been able to reach out and help with either a piece of property or a meeting place. You'll be interested in that, I hope. Our discussion today briefly was to be on Muslims and Buddhists. We couldn't go into a philosophical discussion of them. Let me say three things about Muslims, Mohammedanism. One, it's very difficult to explain to them the concept of a triune God. They believe in one God, and they're very strong in that belief. Another thing, they use their people. Their people are largely their religious leaders. It's more of a lay program, largely, I think. But the important thing for us today is they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And really, that's all we need to say about that religious program, because they need Christ, and therefore they constitute a challenge to our hearts and lives. I think this could show you something of what we might do among them, because one day in one of our cities on a state college campus, a cute little old gal that works with BSU put out a notice that they were going to go out singing Christmas carols. And there were three fellows who came wearing turbans to go sing about the birth of the living Christ. Now, you understand, of course, they've got to do more than just sing about things Christian to become Christians. But the idea of it, I sat by one of those chaps one day. I said, I notice you eat pork. He said, I do. I said, I notice you wear no turban. He said, that is correct while I'm here. And what about your beard? He said, when I go back home, I won't eat pork. I'll grow a beard, and I'll wear a turban. But a fellow that'll eat pork and leave off his turban and his beard, we can win to Christ. And we ought to do it. And they come to our country in large numbers, particularly the students. I think of an interesting experience. One day, one of these chaps came inadvertently where a lady was putting on a Stanley party. And he said, I want to have a Stanley party. And she said, can you get a group? And she realized, of course, the remuneration would be very modest. But she put on the party and was kind enough to invite Mrs. Combs and me to attend. And one of the interesting things that happened was that she tried to play games that were a play on words, and that kind of went over like a lead balloon because they didn't know our idiomatic expression, so that didn't go so well. So pretty soon she started passing out some of the wares, and one item was an aftershave lotion, and it came to an old boy that had a mustache that curled and pointed out there just as sharp, and little beard that came to a keen point, and everybody in the house got quiet as he raised his hand, and the leader said, what do you want? He said, what do you have for a mustache? And she said, shaving cream. The Muslims are among us. There's a place here.